Let's see how this goes. A little bit of singing will do, yeah? I wonder how awful this might sound. Oh, Mr. Deus, how you doing, brother? I was actually going to start singing some tunes until we get a lot of people in. Warming up the voice, I guess, thematic. Wisdom, she's whispering, hold on, let the scene unfold, and I'm not listening. You would not believe what I've just been told. Wisdom says sacrifice, fury says you're worth more than lies, but I hear don't look again. I feel my face form a frown. Then hold me back, oh, I had it up to here with this jargon. Then hold me back, oh, no, I had it up to here with this jargon, babe. Two choices on my mind. We're screaming, destiny awaits. Fury has me blind. All I see is a fiery haze. Wisdom, she says, my boy, no. Please hold back, there's so much you don't know. But I'm not listening. I feel fire roaring from my soul. Hold me back, oh, I had it up to here with this jargon. Then hold me back, oh, no, I had it up to here with this jargon, babe. My heels bleeding out. Her beauty saves me from my pain. I see so clearly now. Oh, gone for eternal fame. And I slip so gently into a sleep that never ends. Wisdom, she says to me, your story is not finished yet. And hold me back, oh, I had it up to here, had it with this jargon. And hold me back, oh, no, I had it up to here with this jargon. And hold me back, oh, I had it up to here, had it with this jargon. And hold me back, oh, no, I had it up to here with this jargon, babe. Oh, Jesus, boyos, what's the crack? How are we? We have about 7 people in here. I'm sure you're wondering, like, what the fuck is going on here, Steph? I'm just doing some singing. This is just some warm-up singing for the space. I'm going to talk about speaking skills now in a moment. And I'll get you all to come up here and ask me questions, because this will be picking my brain and my wealth of knowledge. I'll do one more tune, and then we'll get started. Do a Bob Marley song. Yeah, I wanna love you and keep you right. Yeah, I wanna love you every day and every night. We'll be together with the roof right over our head. We'll share the shelter, yeah. of our single bed. We'll share the same roof and shall provide the bread. Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? Oh, I wanna know, now. Oh, yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know now. I am willing and able. So I threw my cards up on your table. I wanna love you. I wanna love and treat you. Love and treat you right. Every day and every night. We'll be together, whoa, with the roof right over our heads. We'll share the shelter and shall provide the bread. We'll share the same roof. Oh, fuck, lyrics wrong. Shall provide the bread. Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? Is this love, is this love, is this love that I'm feeling? I wanna know, wanna know, wanna know now. Oh yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know now. Willing and able, yeah. So I throw my cards up on your table. All right, let's fucking go, gents. Let's go. Now, if anybody would like to hop up and have a chat, that was just me banging out some tunes there, warming up the voice a bit. I was doing a lot of speaking today, so that usually calms the voice down. I'm going to now do a discussion on various things related to speaking skills and whatnot. So if anybody would like to come up and ask questions, Mr. Deus Vult, how are you doing, brother? What's going on? Now, Mr. Deus, how are you? So what I'm going to do first, tell me how you are, my man. I'm just checking, and then I'm going to do a bit of a presentation, and then we'll get into proper question asking.
Right on, brother. Yeah, no, I'm gravy. That was pretty killer. What was that first song?
That was actually a song I wrote. That was a song I was memeing about Achilles one day, and it's a song about, I've got to bang it up and throw it up on YouTube or something like that, so I can get the girls, yeah, man.
Please do, bro.
Sweet, I'll do it.
This shit was fucking fire.
Thank you very much, my man. Gotta get it up there. Get the groupies, man. Where are the groupies? Like, what's happening? Why am I just on Spaces? Like, what's the story, Mr. Mitchell Lopez? So I'll get to questions, as I said, properly in a bit, and then we can banter and chat, obviously, and all this. But the first things I want to talk about is, as I said, speaking skills, because I think this is very, very significant. We're floating around in, you could say, dissident circles. We're in this culture right now, which is very much against, shall we say, us. An awful lot of us are finding that we go into the institutions, various types of ones, like maybe the army, the police force, the educational institution. And you'll notice that they're not really designed for you. They actually don't, they don't like you at all. I went into college. This is my experience of this. I've spoken to people going into other institutions. I go into college and they're educating me that, like, you know, European man is evil and bad and terrible. And I've explained this before, like phallogocentrism and all this, like, you know, the philosophy is just completely against me. I went into the music industry and I noticed that, like, you know, when I was getting into the music industry, the people who were on the top of the charts were Drake. They weren't European. They were either women or Drake. This type of thing is what I noticed. I remember going down through the industry and I realized that it wasn't really for me either. So there's an awful lot of issues with this, and this can quite easily turn you into somebody who's quite bitter. You can become quite jaded about this. And I meet an awful lot of young guys who feel a little bit dejected about the world, which I understand.
and they're a little bit jaded, and they rightfully stand in their feet and say, all right, I don't fucking like what's going on here. Now, the problem that I see with an awful lot of this is that they make an identity out of their uselessness, you know? They allow the kind of, we'll say, the bad situation to alleviate them of the responsibility of raising their standards and becoming competent and becoming good. And this just has never sat well with me at all. This is one... I think this might be the core issue that annoys me the most about talking to people who, quote unquote, get it, if you want to put it this way. If you are not competent, if you're not skilled, it doesn't matter how mad you are against the world, you're somehow part of the problem. And in our position, actually what we need is as many people as possible who are competent and skilled and talented and capable and are able to assert themselves and present themselves very well. Now, when I went into the college education system, I was going in there and I realized it was not really designed for me. I didn't really like what was going on, so I dropped out. But I remember when I dropped out, I went ferocious trying to learn how to develop skills, how to develop assets. And a huge part of that was me developing oration skills, rhetorical skills, speaking skills. And I am absolutely blessed that I went through this process because I ended up picking up the foundations for a knowledge which I just don't see taught anywhere anymore. The internet moves too fast for people to really sit down and talk about like proper skill training. And the education system just doesn't really teach this stuff anymore. But this skill is probably the most relevant skill to our age and the most powerful skill of all. This is the skill of being able to use words or ideas to communicate with somebody else's mind and persuade them to do something. Now, of course, what is the internet? Just this massive, incredible tool that allows us to reach all the minds in the world and communicate with them. So this skill is about learning how to communicate properly. This is definitely going to come in fucking handy. And what I really think would be fascinating is seeing a large amount of people who are savvy, who understand what's going on, who hold intelligent values, and also have the brutality in themselves to shape themselves into somebody competent and somebody articulate and somebody who presents themselves well, somebody well-read, somebody who can present their ideas with force and power. I think even a couple of dudes like this would just completely change the culture and like so quickly with so much force and so much power. You see somebody like Andrew Tate, whatever you think of him, is a phenomenally good speaker, and we'll talk about him later if you wish. And he's had a huge look at the influence that motherfucker has had on culture. It's unbelievable how big of a difference he's made. He literally was having like young kids run around into their classrooms and bully their teachers and stuff like this instead of letting the teachers castrate them because of his power of just like capturing people's attention on TikTok and stuff like this. These skills really matter. And even in a practical sense, you know, look at Tate's income. Tate is making a lot of fucking cash. Why? Well, he was. Why was he making so much money? Because he could speak so well. He was a fantastic salesman. He understood the principles of all these type of things. So these skills are very, very valuable. A lot of people end up jaded with the modern world, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have to end up a fucking loser. You know, you can actually put yourself in a very powerful winning position, despite the fact that you're in a bad position. We're in a culturally degrading situation and whatnot. And there's still an awful lot of stuff you can do. So the skills, there's a lot of different skills you can work on. Like, I'd love everyone to learn to fight, to lift weights, to study nutrition, to become, you know, financially educated about the nature of money and all these type of things. I think these are all very, very important. But the one that I'm going to focus on specifically is words and using your mouth and all this type of stuff. Now, there's a lot of different names for this. You can call it oration. You can call it rhetoric. You can call it storytelling. But I don't think that actually captures the true understanding of what this is, because when you're speaking, you're doing something fucking surreal, something very, very powerful. You're using mouth noises or scribbles to make somebody else's mind change, to do something. In fact, it's even more profound than that. You can fill their mind with emotions or images or thoughts. Now, why is this important? Because a person's mind is how they decide to take actions. The hand does not kill. It is the mind which tells the hand to pull the trigger, which kills. The person who is controlled of the mind has more power than the person who is force. This is something that we've learned throughout history, is that the priests and the Brahmins always end up controlling the warrior caste, because the warrior caste is the muscles, but the priest is the brain. And that's what really counts, and what really matters in the end. And in this, the understanding of what is the priest's advantage or the Brahmin's advantage is his ability to understand the mind, his ability to communicate and motivate and move the mind. So following on from this first principle, when you think about it, everything that you want is on the other side of somebody else making a decision. Now, maybe not everything. That's maybe a bit hyperbolic there, Steph. But a lot of the things that would change your life is on the other side of somebody else's decision. Like, if you think of the most beautiful girl that you would like to host your children in her womb, the only thing that's stopping that amazing thing happening and you've basically fulfilling one of your life's most important purposes is you, it's her deciding in her head that she's going to let you do that. You know, that's just her mind being the part of it that is in the way. Now, why would she decide to do that? Or if you have a business idea and you go into a VC fund or something like this, what could change your life tomorrow is you walk into the right room, say the right things, and somebody floods $3 million on top of your fucking head, and then that's the end of the game. Or if you figure out how to persuade one customer to buy some fucking shoe or something like this, and you can make them decide with their mind to do something, that could change your life, because then you can multiply that by a million and you can sell a million shoes. And this goes all across your life. When you really think about it, it's surreal. The difference it could make. If you could persuade somebody to work with you or for you and make them decide that they want to commit to you, you would have a team member, and that would be a huge asset to your life. People's decisions are so important and powerful. And the further you go into the world, the more you learn about the world. Like, I'd speak to like CEOs and executives of huge companies now at this point. And it's so fascinating to see that constantly what these CEOs are trying to do is get into positions where they're not taking actions, they're making decisions, and they're focusing on the decision part of their lives, because decisions are everything. Decisions are the big deal. The mind deciding what actions to do is actually the most important thing of all. And your ability to speak, your ability to use language, is your ability to manipulate other people to make decisions. Like, that's absurd. That's so powerful. That's incredible. And what this practically turns into is a host of the most important things in your life. As I've already mentioned, your ability to get a girl, your ability to be entertaining for your friends, your ability to be a leader in a social situation, your ability to make money. If you know how to make people decide things, that's persuasion, that's sales. That is definitely going to make you more cash. If you want to, if you have some like personal values, or you have artistic qualities or things inside of your imagination that you want to get out into the world, your ability to put those in other people's heads will bring you spiritual fulfillment, creative fulfillment. It will entertain you. It will give you meaning in your life. All of these things are achieved through the art of speech. It can literally cover your sex life, your financial life, your spiritual life. It literally nails everything. The only other thing you need to do beside it, I guess, is hit the fucking gym and eat properly. And then you've pretty much got a quite well sorted out life and well-rounded life in this regard. This is how important this is. And what's interesting is that it's quite esoteric to people. It's like looking at fighting. Fighting, obviously, like, you know, everybody thinks they can fight. All men, we all think that we can fight. You know, if like some guy pushed me, I'd be like, oh yeah, he won't. My mentality, man, I'd take him out. It's like, bro, 95% of dudes would get crushed in a street fight because they just don't know how bad they are. And it's hard to even understand how bad you are when you don't know what good is. And then you go and you train with professional fighters and you learn what fighting is actually like, and you realize that like you are just so terrible. And it's just such a complicated skill to try and nail down and like figure out all the ins and outs of it and all this type of stuff. And speaking is very much like that. Like, people look at it and they think that surely it can't be, like, it's just talking, you know? But it is so specific in its technical details, and they have so much of a difference. And I've like spent time learning about this, and I'm on my journey about becoming a better speaker as I go forward. And I've had a lot of practice with a various amount of things that I'm doing. But I would sit down and I'd look at somebody like Tate, and he has all these powerful assets of great speech that are very, very valuable. Jordan Peterson has a lot of them too. And it's no surprise that these two motherfuckers are two of the most prominent people in the world. And then when I'm floating around these Twitter spaces and whatnot and listening to all these people who have grievances against the world, I listen to them talk. And what do I hear? Incompetent speaking skills. They're not actually technically good at delivering the ideas and the values that they care about, which is actually kind of saying something. They don't have quite high standards for themselves, do they? They like just telling everybody else how the world should be and all this type of stuff. It's an interesting challenge to them. Now, of course, we all have these blind sides, so we don't like to be a dick about it, but something to think about. You will commonly see people with like ums and ahs and likes and ahs and all this type of stuff. And they're just like basic run-of-the-mill technical things that you can do to sort out. So if we want to try and model this skill of speaking and understand how you would go about making it better, you would start with this understanding that it's like MMA. There's a lot of different sides to it, you know. Some of the most basic ones like in MMA, you have wrestling, boxing, Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu. There's a lot of different angles. In storytelling or in speaking, there actually is something quite similar to this. You would have, for example, your voice, your personal use. Me singing there at the start is an example of me using my voice, understanding how to place my voice deeper in my throat, various things like this. That's one avenue. Another avenue is actually the technicalities of how you're using the language. This would be, for example, I was talking about this in my recent videos on like George Orwell and stuff like this. Visual storytelling, using language that sparks the imagination. There's technicalities to this that I'll talk about in a moment. And then another one would be, for example, the psychological modeling, the know-how of the other person that you're talking to. So this is where psychology comes into it. This is where you hear an awful lot of salespeople talk about, you know, emotional triggers or all these type of things. Then there's stuff like structuring a narrative. That's storytelling, these type of things going in that direction. These are all huge fields in and of themselves. And if you want to become a competent speaker, you actually need to learn to do all of these and explore them all. It's like if you want to become a good MMA fighter, you need to go and study these disciplines in specific ways. So what I'm going to do is talk about, I'll see if I can get through maybe two or three of them. There's more big fields, but I'll kind of give you a general sense. And you'll at least have, like, this is all I can really offer right now. You'll at least have an understanding of some basic principles about developing your speaking and writing skills and focuses that perhaps you could study in the future to kind of go forward and make this in practical. And yeah, and I'll try to wrap it up then in timely fashion after that. So the first area that I see most people fucking up is definitely not even the most interesting one. This is very much like MMA again. When you go into and deal with beginners in fighting, the most interesting part of fighting, you know, was talking about counters and, you know, timing people and, you know, dropping your right hand across their jab and stuff like this. This is where all the fun stuff is, where you're doing all this like mad, crazy Matrix jiu-jitsu and all this, but you don't really get to that level until you're an intermediate. You can't even think about stuff like counters and all this because beginners can't even hold their fucking hands up and they gas out all the time. And this is a big problem I notice with an awful lot of speakers, is that they have beginner mistakes that stops them even getting into the weeds of the really cool stuff. So one of these is obviously ums, ahs, and likes. Now, we all do it. We're all guilty of it. Thank you, Californian culture, that we all say like, we all trip over our words and whatnot. But this is such an important thing to clear out. Because when you're adding in lots of ums and ahs, it slurs your words and it makes you sound stupider. You could be saying the smartest fucking thing ever, but if you've got hesitation in your voice, you've got these pauses, these stutters, it makes you slower. The speed that you deliver information is very important in the modern world because people stay engaged with people who articulate things fast. And if you are constantly pausing with ums and ahs, it makes you sound dumb. It makes it slow. It loses people's attention and it's rude. If you're talking to somebody, it's your job to try fill their imagination with ideas. And if you're busy just being an incompetent blumpus, you know, turning around going, like this is really fucking everything up. So that alone is something that is very controllable for people. The simplest thing you can do is bring awareness to it. That is the first thing you need to do, to realize that you're doing it and impose upon yourself totalitarian fascism to say to yourself that you'll even speak slower and risk sounding stupider by speaking slower, but to try cut those words out and actively practice it. Just keep it at the forefront of your mind as much as possible and don't allow yourself to and ah and like in these types of things. It's very important to do this. Very important to do this. Another thing you can do is you can record yourself and listen back to it. That is horrible to do, but it really, really works. And then the last thing I'd say is to get some type of practice. Like I talk on YouTube an awful lot. I talk to an awful lot of people on the phone and stuff like this. So I've gotten quite good at this over the years quite quickly because of the volume of work that I've been doing. So I've been sort of forced to rant and stuff like this. Your mind is obviously just going to get organized with this. But you might not have this. Maybe you have a different type of job. So in that instance, you need to find a way that you could practice speaking more frequently, doing spaces. Anything at all that's going to hold you to some type of standards is going to be very, very valuable. A second side of this, you could say qualitative use of your voice, is things like the musical side of it, vocal tone and vocal capacity, all right? So if you listen to me talk, you'll notice that I use quite a lot of what we call intonation. My voice is very musical. A lot of people say, well, yeah, I'm an Irish leprechaun, fantastic stuff. That's why you sound like you're talking up and down and all this. But this is me having trained myself over the years to develop that intonation. If I'm going to stress a point, I'll start to slow down the rhythm, and then I might even raise my voice a bit, and then I'll slow it down again. And this is naturally built into me. Now, I've actually spoke to quite a lot of people, again, you can listen to yourself talk, who have completely monotone voices and they don't even realize it. They just talk in the same tone all the time, and then they're really trying to express their points sort of like this. And you'd actually be amazed just how unbelievably boring this really is. It just completely flattens out the meaning of everything you're saying. It's crazy when you do it. So that's another thing that people can work on, to figure out how to add more stress, add more intensity to what they're saying, add more musical phrases to this. Again, something you can study. The last part of that would be the tonality. So I'm sure you've heard all these before, but these are basics and they're important to get done. Tonality is, for example, learning how to settle your voice in your face. So when you're talking, an awful lot of people, especially nowadays, have soy boy voices. They have a little bit kind of wormy, effeminate voices. And look, we all have it. I have it a little bit as well. You know, I've been scarred by the modern world just as much as anybody. But it doesn't have to be this way. This does not have to be our destiny. If you can learn how to, for example, breathe properly, learn things like how to settle your larynx, there's something you can look up. You'll eventually learn to develop this ability to create space in your throat, which is where you drop your voice, which allows you to make your voice deeper, which is going to make it more commanding, more manly and powerful. And it's also going to give you more room to do intonations and whatnot. It's also healthier for your voice, so you'll find it easier to talk for longer and these type of things. So there's a couple of basics. I'm sure you've heard those before, but I stress most people I meet have problems with the basics, and they could do with sorting that stuff out. That would be on the vocal tonality front. Second thing I would say is the question of technicalities of language. So you're going to hear me talk about this an awful lot more in the future. You hear me bang on about jargon sometimes. When you go and you listen to somebody talk, especially in the sort of philosophical world that I live in, you'll hear an awful lot of people use concepts that they've picked up off their books and all this. And they'll use very sophisticated phrases in their language. And this is okay. There's nothing wrong with using industry jargon or sophisticated phrases or whatever. But the true correct way to use language is to think about it in first principles. The goal is that you're trying to paint a picture in the other person's mind. That's the most powerful way to use language. Not for me to show you like a filing cabinet, all the information that I've gathered from books. The goal of language, as we said before, is to try and make someone make a decision. What is the best way to convince somebody to make a decision? To make them see the things in your mind that you want them to see. For example, if you say to someone, you should do more charity, charity is good. Charity is an abstract, sterile piece of jargon with no imagery attached to it. When I say charity to you, it does not invoke inside your imagination any visceral image of anything. It is just a fucking mouth noise. It's a word. It's empty. You know, now, of course, we understand what it means on a shallow level, and we're able to process its meaning. But what's quite interesting about that is that that shallow type of communication is kind of lifeless, and we're able to do it. Now, if I say to you, there's a homeless man outside, and he's got 4 needles in his leg, and it's gone purple, and he's been like foaming at the mouth for a while, and we just got beat up by a load of randomers and all this type of stuff. Maybe we should take some money that's in our pocket and go downstairs and buy him a load of sandwiches, and maybe get him some bandages and give it to him and all this type of stuff and sort him out. Should we just let him like lie there and die and then call the police later? Now, what's interesting is that this is the same sort of idea of the virtue of charity or the virtue of care or whatever you want to call it. But in this instance, I'm painting a picture in your head. Now, which do you think is going to evoke you or move you to at least confront the question of should you do that or not, to force you to make the decision? Which of the two? It's obviously going to be the second one. The second one is so much more compelling. It seizes your imagination in so much of a better way. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can categorize this. I call it using visual language properly. You could also call it using sense-based language, and you could call it storytelling. There's a lot of different frames for this. But the basic principle is to understand the difference between these two things. A lot of people can't see this, but when you see this, it's like seeing the fucking Matrix afterwards. It becomes so apparent to you that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I don't do this more. So what you're doing is you're using words to paint pictures, images, sounds, feelings, sensations, to articulate things so people can see it inside of their heads. This is the way that you move them, because your words are amazing. Think of it like when you're with a girl. You can talk to a girl and you can like even describe to her you fucking her, and this can get her off. Really think about this. Really pull the brakes here a little bit, bros. All right, we can start getting into the sex game here if you want. And think about what you can do with your mouth without touching a girl. You can get her absolutely soaking wet by saying to her like, oh, I'm going to slide inside of you and your wet pussy and your flat, my big thick cock is going to like press up inside of you and it's going to be all juicy and all this. And you can talk about, you know, grabbing her neck and her throat and all this. And she starts to imagine this stuff and she gets horny. She gets aroused. She gets switched on, because her mind, the words paint the pictures in her mind, and she gets the tingles as a consequence. This is very important to understand. Your words are able to create that type of effect inside somebody's mind. So why would you trade that capacity for a stupider version of language, a more redundant version of language? Like, imagine turning around to the girl and be like, hey, babe, let's engage in coitus. Which is going to get her fucking more riled up, do you think? Using the jargon or painting the picture? Obviously, the second. And so in this instance, you'll notice that most of the best articulators and speakers and communicators have this habit of constantly referring back to visual ideas, because this is how they trade their imagination. This is why this is one of Tate's best traits. He is always pulling the brakes on ideas he's talking about and making sure that he drills it home with an analogy or a story. And this is just so good for TikTok, so good for our age, where he can get a really important idea, but really quickly capture it. I have a lot of videos recently talking about this, George Orwell's take on this, Conor McGregor doing this, Tate, Jordan Peterson, Nietzsche as well. I absolutely love Nietzsche. He's a fantastic writer, very hard subject matter. But when you understand the subject matter, he's actually very clear and easy to understand because his analogies are brilliant. He's a very, very lucid and imaginative writer. He uses lots of visual metaphors. You read to Ecce Homo and he says, like, he has such brilliant ways of articulating ideas. Instead of saying, I don't like Christians, he would say stuff like, you know, when I'm around religious people, I make sure I put on my latex gloves. Think of the difference in the emotion that he's communicating there. One of them is just this kind of blunt, flat, kind of, you know, daltish way of expressing things. The other one is this savage, visceral. It evokes that feeling of disgust inside you. You know what he means is basically what we're saying. And it's also fucking funny as well, which is so powerful. This is also the key to humor. Analogies are one of the best ways to get somebody riled up and get somebody giggling, because you can paint silly pictures in their head that are just, you know, way more captivating than most other styles of jokes, if you will. So it's a very, very useful tool to add to your arsenal. Now, that would be that side of things. That you can open that up into just a vista of different possibilities. It's a huge amount of fun. But I guess I'll go into the last section and then we'll wrap it up and we'll open it up to the floor to any boyos who want to chat. Another angle, another part of the training regime for becoming a better speaker is more of a knowledge thing. It's like if you're in fighting, you can train jiu-jitsu, you can train boxing, but you also need to sit down and train, for example, strategy. You need to train the mental game. You need to train things that are slightly more abstract. And so in the storytelling game, this would be more abstract things like persuasion or psychology. So if I'm trying to talk to somebody, I'm going to use sales as the best way to understand this. If I'm trying to sell somebody something, my question is, you know, if I'm trying to persuade them to make a decision, I need to actually correctly psychologically model their minds. I need to understand them properly. An awful lot of the skills of psychology, such as empathy, such as your ability to perceive somebody else's reality, are the key skills you need in order to become better at persuading people. It's weird. It's these sort of like soft soy boy emotions like empathy are these portals that give you access to some of the most profound, manly, money-making skills, if you want to put it this way. It's empathy and psychology and these feminine arts that really allow you to unlock perception into other people's minds. Because I can be, you know, a lot of people think of sales guys as like Wolf of Wall Street. And, you know, the stereotype that you pick up the phone and you just bewilder someone. You bewilder them with your sales skills. But it's like it never actually works. You know, that's Hollywood type thing. What actually is powerful is when the phone is down, hooked into the thing, and you're sitting there and you're thinking about the person that you want to persuade. You're thinking about the client and you're understanding and psychologically modeling their reality. You're understanding like their pains. You're understanding the words they use. You're doing research on them. You're building a psychological profile, an empathetic profile in their heads. This is actually very much related to the storytelling thing. You're able to project in your own mind, in your own imagination, the vision of their life. This is such an amazing skill that so many people lack, and see their reality and understand their pain and their emotions and get yourself wrapped up in those. And this will give you this capacity to accurately talk about the things that they care about, which will make you a magnificent persuader compared to the guy who tries to bewilder them with, you know, sales skills or whatever it is, or, you know, some listicle he read on the internet or something like this. So this is the capacity to psychologically model people, to empathize, to understand the skills underneath psychology, the frameworks of how humans make decisions, human nature, and these type of things. This is a very, very powerful thing to lock in and understand. There's this is where you actually might hear some things like biases. You'll hear tools that people talk about in the sales game, like urgency and stuff like this. These are all related to understanding human psychology and why people make decisions. And so this becomes a very powerful area of study for you to think about. This opens up into a huge vista of complicated and powerful skills. This is, for example, where an awful lot of sales skills will come from. This is a great way for you to, like, if you're a dude and maybe you want to talk more freely in your job and you end up getting fired, you can go and do remote online sales and quite easily make as much money as a doctor. You know, it's not hard to start getting $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a year and doing that type of job. These are very, very powerful jobs right now. You could get into marketing. Edward Bernays, for example, was Freud's nephew. And he took these skills of psychology and persuasion, the dark arts, and he just understood the human imagination, the human mind, and he was just Machiavellian enough to exploit it. And he made himself very successful as a consequence. So these skills are out there for the taking, and they have real impact and force in the world. And the psychological ones are slightly more abstract, but they improve your accuracy, which means that you can be much more penetrative with what you say. Now, this is like a basic skill stack, if you will, for developing your capacity to articulate, communicate. But even getting, you know, half good at a couple of these things will make you so much better than you already are and open up endless opportunities, because you're always going to use these skills throughout the rest of your life for everything you do. Like, this is, I can't stress it enough, but it's never like you're not going to need sales skills. You know, you're not going to need persuasion skills. You're not going to need to help people make decisions. You're not going to want to be more charismatic. There's no way that doesn't help you. Even if you're playing video games with your bros, you'll be funnier. You could get your ideas out on YouTube if you're so interested in it, and get your creative self up this way. As I said, you could make more money. You could persuade people to invest in your company. You can be better in teams. You can be better in person. You can get your fucking girl more locked in, all these type of things. So there's a lot of virtues and powers to having this stuff locked, unlock and developing the skills and putting all this stuff together. So presentation over. Now, I'd like to open it up to the floor and have any thoughts or questions or ponderings or anything at all, anything related to this topic. Hit me, gentlemen. Give me your shouts. Give me your thoughts and we'll roll into it. So, Mr. Mitchell, thank you very much for your wait. And let's rock and roll.
Yes, hello.
Yes, how you doing, brother?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I've been listening to you for a few years
now. Now, my man, I'm afraid I can't hear you that well.
Hello, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Maybe. I just have a quick question. Maybe you can hear it. I'll just shoot.
Sweet, sweet.
What is that song that you played before the Bob Marley song? I really enjoyed
it. Shit. All right. Thank you very much, man. That was my own tune. That was my own tune. It's unreleased at the moment. You know, you got an inside scoop there, if you want to put it this way.
Wow. Okay. That was excellent. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it.
Nice, man. Fuck. I got to get that one up on up on the interwebs then. I got to get that up on YouTube as a consequence. Well, thank you very much,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That was... Yeah, that was me own tune up there.
That was excellent.
Good stuff. Any ponderings on the speaking skills and all this type of stuff, or are you all good? Yeah, sounds like he's all good. Gentlemen, do you have any questions? Oh yeah, Mister, go on again, bro.
No. I just have my phone in my pocket. All good.
Okay, good stuff. Gentlemen, anybody in the crowd, questions, please, or I will have to lock all this stuff down. You can hit request and we will get everybody up here and then we'll go forward from there. No questions. Requests, gentlemen, quick. All right, I'm going to have to keep this on lockdown, my man, or my gentleman. Thank you very much for joining, I guess, and I am going to end it here. This will be available for posterity, and we can go forward from there. So last call on the questions, gents. Last call before I bounce. All you need to do is hit request. All right, good stuff. I'll talk to you all later, lads. Have a good one. Bye-bye.